Hey everyone, welcome to the Sports in the Mitten podcast, powered by Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Adam Biggers, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer for FanRag Sports. I want to thank everyone for watching on the YouTube live stream, and of course everyone listening on iTunes, Google Play, and the FanRag Sports blog talk radio channel. Follow FanRag Sports at FanRag underscore U and at FanRag Sports. You can follow me at AdamBiggers81, and don't forget, search Sports in the Mitten on Facebook, like us, share us, and on Twitter, at MittenSportsMI. So first things first, Michigan-Florida post-game thoughts. I wanted to do something Saturday night. Unfortunately, I didn't have a lot of video, if you guys noticed, from the press conferences. I had to hold my phone, and my tripod broke. I actually got it going today. So, and let's see, Mike Sabrowski's in. What's up, Adam? Big win. Yes, that, and he says, go Blue. Yes, that was a huge win. I want to talk about the defense. I want to talk about the freshmen. I want to talk about Wilton Spate. I was unable to make it to the press conference today. I got in late last night and slept in. It was a long day of travel. I actually had to go to from Dallas to Albuquerque to Chicago to Flint. It was crazy. Going down to Dallas was much easier. So the defense was smothering, says Demetrius Wright. How is Dallas? Sean wants to know. Dallas was awesome. There's different sections of downtown. There's an uptown section. There's a downtown. There's a west end. There's all kinds of stuff. I was able to see the JFK memorial. I didn't go to the museum, but I was able to see the memorial. And it's a really eerie feeling. Sorry about the technical glitch there, guys. My Wi-Fi lost signal. It's kind of windy here. We're going to get severe storms, and I think my cable Wi-Fi went out. So I apologize for that. I'll get to your guys' questions. But yeah, back to the Dallas thing real quick. I was able to see the JFK, not the actual museum, but the memorial. And as I was saying, with the X on the spot there, it was just a really eerie feeling to know, like, you're feet away from where JFK was assassinated. It was crazy. But again, like, the uptown area was really cool. The downtown, west end, all kinds of stuff to do in Dallas. So if you ever get a chance to go, I highly recommend it. Ken Horvath says, buddy, uniforms and defense look sharp. Go Blue. Back to DeMario Vaughn. That defense was smothering. These comments are loading, guys. Back again. Sorry if it dropped off for you. Like I said, my internet connection with the wind and everything was kind of... It went out for a moment. So I'll start with the defense, and I'm going to write a column today on FanRag Sports, so check that out at FanRagSports.com. The Michigan's defense gave up 11 rushing yards. Cameron, no, you're not late. Just in time. I just started, and actually it just had a little glitch. So fire away with your questions. I'm ready. But yeah, that defense, 11 rushing yards, 192 total yards, 181 through the air. And as expected, the secondary gave up a couple big plays. I mean, immediately Felipe Franks picked on LeVert Hill, and what, that one was like 30 yards, 34 yards. I expected that, and I think that once that happens, knock off some rust, everything just kind of fell in motion. Devin Bush was great on defense, a team-high 7 tackles. Kalik Hudson is going to be an effective Viper, and again, I don't like doing the comparisons with Jabril, different guys, but Kalik is very athletic. I think he demonstrated that. And Michigan's redshirt class, the true freshmen, the sophomores, these guys are really going to, I don't like to necessarily participate in the hot take thing. Michigan's defense certainly looked like a Big Ten championship caliber defense, certainly looked like a national title defense just from that one glimpse. And you guys who watch the podcast and read my stuff and follow me on Twitter, you know I don't like to jump to massive conclusions getting that hot take stuff, but you got to call it like you see it. When you give up 11 rushing yards, and let's face it, the chunks of the passing yards, young mistakes, first game jitters, they get that tightened, and Florida couldn't run the ball at all. I mean, we could go through, I had the stats here in front of me, we could go through all that, but I want to talk about specific players. What moments do you guys feel like were, you know, game changers for the defense that kind of thing. So again, follow me on Twitter if you're watching live. You could shoot me a question on YouTube or on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. So if you guys want to talk about the defense, Kennedy Cameron says Devin Bush. Here's another comment. Monster of Leon. Every passing yard the Gators have required either an amazing pass or an equally amazing catch. And that's, I think you hit it on the head there. I think that you hit it on the head there, Monster of Leon, because, again, we look at just the big plays against the secondary. It's not, Florida didn't have anything consistent. And, yeah, I don't know how many great catches the Gators made. Those aren't just every day. Okay, this is a decent catch. I'm forgetting the name. I think it was Cleveland. He made that catch along the sidelines up above his head. I mean, that was an NFL catch. So, Metellus made a huge play to come off a block and force a fumble on the sideline, says Costco Payne. Yeah, Josh was huge. And you guys, I wrote about this earlier before the season. I think it was a foregone conclusion anyway. Kalik and Josh are going to be massive, massive assets to this defense. Massive. Don Brown is a defensive genius. He sent so many looks at the Florida line, and they were shook, said DeMario Vaughn. Yeah, and there's a lot of talk about that 3-3-5 stack and the way that he uses it, DeMario. So, I thought the defensive line as a whole. If you guys want to just focus on the defensive line, and Rashawn was effective. Maurice, Chase Winovich had a hell of a game. Chase Winovich, I remember there was one tackle. I think Mo Hurst was running down Felipe Franks. And Chase Winovich came in. They almost split him in half. I mean, it was a rough day to say the least. I think Michigan finished with like 6 sacks. Let me make sure. It was 5 sacks. Or no, 6 sacks. Devin Bush had 2 sacks. Chase had 1. Mike McCray had a sack. Josh Uche had a sack. And evidently, whatever Josh Uche was going through during camp, I remember speaking with Josh Metellus. He said that, you know, Josh had you know, some personal things, whatever. I don't want to speculate into what it was, but he had some things he had to iron out. And evidently, he did it in that Florida game. Why didn't McCray start DeMario? I don't know. We didn't ask it during the post-game press conference. And again, I wasn't there today because I got in late last night, just after midnight. And I didn't see it asked. I was following, you know, looking on Twitter. It's something that definitely will probably be addressed this week. I don't know, you know, I can't give you a particular reason. I really can't. But I think he started the rest of the game. It was only like the first series he didn't start, so. Gary should have gotten a half a sack, says Sean Holtz. So much for that only one returning starter on defense narrative, says Rafael Sandoval. And again, this, you guys, I think we've been discussing this for I don't know how long. The names are going to change, and yeah, there's going to be young players. That's the nature of college football. I mean, it's the nature of sports in general. You're not always going to have veterans, you know? I mean, look at some of these guys who go on in the NFL, and I mean, a good portion are NFL-ready immediately and contribute. So, I mean, I feel like that's kind of along the same lines of the way that Jim Harbaugh is recruiting, the way that they're developing the defense, particularly the defense. You could plug in anybody, and these guys are going to be, and again, I don't like jumping to massive conclusions, but these guys are an elite defense already. I mean, just based on what I've seen Saturday and for the past 3 years, I mean, I don't see anything changing. And again, the names might change. Maybe there's a different coordinator, but as long as Greg Madison's a defensive line coordinator, DJ Durkin did a hell of a job as a defensive coordinator. Don Brown has just amped it up tenfold. This is an elite defense and will continue to be. The offensive line look good. We can now run the ball. Watch out, says Lakers. Lakers, my only concern, the right side of the offensive line. If you guys remember, all the big runs, it seemed, were Chris Evans. I want to talk about Khalid Hill because we're not ever going to confuse Khalid for Ty Wheatley, right? On the motion penalty or coverage, ineligible receiver, but I forgot exactly, I think it was ineligible receiver is what they called it, but they were mistaken by the motion. But if you guys paid attention, the Chris Evans, Ty Isaac, all those runs were behind the left side of the line. And I don't know if it was, some of it had to do with field position, of course, but I think a lot of it is because that left side of the line is incredibly strong. That right side of the line needs some work. I think that was evident. Do you think they still would have dominated on defense? Florida didn't have those 2 big suspensions. I think so. I mean, there may have been a couple more big plays. Jordan Scarlett could have been in there, and maybe he gets 50 or 60 yards. That I don't think it mattered, and because he's a really good running back. He's one of the best running backs in the SEC. I don't think it necessarily would have mattered if Antonio Callaway played. Maybe the offense gets a little bit of a spark, but I mean, Felipe Franks and Malik Zaire couldn't really. Other than Franks, he got off a few nice passes, but Michigan's defense was just so suffocating. And again, six sacks. I don't really see it. Maybe it'd be a 33-20 game. Let's say if Callaway or Scarlett played. I predicted initially 27-14. Obviously, it was 33-17, and it felt like much more than a 33-17 win. It felt like a 5-touchdown blowout. And especially that defensive touchdown, Noah Furbush. That sealed the deal. That's when you know that you have an elite defense, is when your defense can score points. Not only cause turnovers that lead to points, but when the defense can actually score points. And give it to, hats off to Florida. Henderson and Dawson, those pick sixes on Wilton, one was to Kakoa. Kakoa volleyed it up. That was more on Kakoa. The other one was all on Wilton. Overthrew Grant Perry. Wilton had the tendency to get lofty a little bit. We'll talk about quarterbacks, the quarterback, but. Yeah, it's one of those things where the defense, you have a defense that could score points, hold a team to 11 rushing yards, just slam the door. That's a statement. Not only is it a great defense, but it's a statement at the same time. So, what about Eubanks? Looked like a wide receiver on the way he ran, even burned two defensive backs deep. Is he our new go-to pass-catching tight end? Nick Eubanks looked really good. Sean McCune was the number one tight end throughout camp. Sean McCune had a complete game. Blocking, catching, I think, let me bring up the stats. I think he had two catches for 25 yards, if I'm not mistaken. Let me double check that. Three catches for 25 yards. I'm sorry. He was targeted three times. So no drops, no overthrows. Wilton and Sean had good chemistry going on. Eubanks is Funchess, says Sean Holtz. There's that comparison again. Hey, let's let Nick Eubanks be Nick Eubanks. But I understand that super athletic tight end who can also double as a big wide receiver. I understand where you're going with that, Sean. Lakers, out of all the big games this weekend, we faced the best defense and look good, says Lakers. TJ Bellware, that's a good comparison. So, though, yeah, I agree, TJ. Eubanks can actually catch, says. I'm sorry, guys. These comments are coming in spotty. My internet connection is crappy right now. Will Walker play? Cameron Clark wants to know. I mean, I'm assuming so. We'll see. That's my only concern going forward. Can Spate lead this team into the playoff? Defense will keep Michigan in every game. Can Spate make enough big plays in big games? That'll be key to the season, says Costco Payne. I agree. And you guys want to shift the conversation from the defense to Wilton Spate, because I'm going to write a column. I don't want to spoil all my stats and all my I guess best information that I'm going to include in that. So let's move on to the quarterback talk. DeMario Vaughn, Spate will be fine. You guys know where I stand on Wilton Spate. So I thought Kinnell played great. There I go with Kinnell again. I thought Kinnell played great all over the field. Yeah, I thought Brandon Watson had a nice game. I mean, these guys. Michigan secondary, I know everybody, okay, I wrote about this too. It's young. I've never looked, with Brady Hoke, I can understand the youth thing. That was a legitimate excuse because the player development wasn't exactly there. It was there on the defensive side. It wasn't there offensively. With Michigan, I don't think you can use the youth excuse ever. I mean, I think they've burned that card the past 2 years. You can't talk about Michigan, Jim Harbaugh and this coaching staff, and use a young excuse. To me, it doesn't fly. These guys, the development's there. Michigan will face undefeated Wisconsin and undefeated Ohio State back to back. Can you imagine the hype? Oh, yeah, Chris. And speaking of Matt the Destroyer, Wilton Spate gets too much hate. He really only had two bad passes, the pick six and the missed open TD. Yeah, and that missed open touchdown pass to Kakoa, that could have been a statement play for the offense. I'm sure he wants that one back. Andrew Pearson Thompson, I've been super hard on Brandon Watson, but I think he's a similar leap to DeMonte Thomas from 2015 to 16. It's possible. Again, I think the defense really showed off that it was ready. The talks about it not being fast enough in Michigan as a whole, but the defensive, it was shark-like. Side to side, coverage-wise, the pass rush, linebacker play. I mean, it was all there. I think that there. I don't think if you're Don Brown, and I'm not a football coach, I'm not going to pretend to break down certain plays and tell you exactly what happened. We could get the gist of it. A lot of them, run off kind of similar tendencies, but, Don Brown's defense, that's Don Brown's defense. I don't know what's in Don Brown's mind. But just schematically, we'll say everything looked, appeared, at least in my mind, to be perfect. If you're Don Brown, I'm sure you can kind of nitpick some stuff, and maybe perfect's a little strong. It's never perfect, but it was on point, definitely. It didn't look like there was any miscommunications, especially in the backfield. And I remember Josh Metellus and Tyreek Kinnell talking about that, especially with those guys, they have a really strong communication bond. I think that they showed that. Wilton was okay, but he needs to step up his game, says Ken Horvath. Yeah, let's talk about Wilton, guys. I don't know where to start. But someone start it off. Like I said, I think you guys know my stance on Wilton Spate. He's Michigan's best option at quarterback. It's his job. I don't think there's any competition. I think it's Wilton Spate. And only Wilton Spate. The only guy that's going to beat him is himself. When you have a dominant defense and playmakers galore, it's time to step up and lead your team. Pick sixes will get you beat against Wisconsin, Ohio State, says Costco Payne. I agree, Costco, but again, one of those was a high ball, but it was volleyed up. Kakoa essentially volleyed it to CJ Henderson. That other one to Grant Perry, yeah, that was all Wilton. And accuracy, if you guys want to talk about his accuracy, yeah, it was 11 for 25. It wasn't even 50%. As a whole, though, he's a career 61.6. I mean, his first year as a starter, 61.6% completion rate. McDoom has one play and around. What else do you picture him doing? I think, I'm sorry, who is this? Discmaster 1000. I think Eddie will be a slot, but I think that's what they use Eddie for. I mean, the end around is kind of Eddie's play, but I mean, he'll be used as a receiver. I can imagine they'll probably use him in the return game as well. I know that I jumped, like I said, I leapt to that big conclusion, this elite defense, and it's looking title worthy, and I guess from one perspective, one game, guys, I mean, I've gotten questions about Aubrey Solomon. I've gotten questions about Ben Mason and stuff. I mean, it's one game. You can't expect to see the whole guy's body of work in one game. I think a couple guys we did see that with Chris Evans lining up in the slot or offset as a receiver. We saw what several of these guys are going to do. Khalik Hudson. But I mean, you're not going to see it with every player every game. Like, okay, well, here's this whole arsenal for the season. They're just going to break it out. I'm with you, man, but you can't cover for him that much. He played bad, Adam said, base 7769. I don't think he played bad. I don't think he played well. I think he rebounded well. It's a mental thing, too, guys. I mean, a game like that, two back-to-back pick sixes in less than 90 seconds of game time. Can you imagine how that rattles a guy? I was surprised, honestly. I was surprised. When they pulled Wilton, I thought, okay, maybe this is really short leash situation, and put in John O'Korn. I didn't really envision a situation where they're going back to Wilton. At that point, I was a little bit iffy on the outcome of the game, because not only the two pick sixes, but was there something else that was gonna, cause Wilton not to return to the game? I think he did a great job rebounding. Statistics, no, he didn't blow you away. 11 for 25. Didn't blow you away. On a regular day, that's not going to cut it. He certainly benefited from the defense. He rebounded, but if he was calm and cool, it never would have happened. I'm not complaining, just saying, base 7769. Well, I don't think that's necessarily that's not the way I look at it. I mean, it's easy to say, well, this wouldn't have happened if I didn't do this. You can't predict it. The only thing that you can talk about is this happened and this is how I reacted to it. That's the only thing that's definite, right? What if this happened, or he should have done this to avoid it? Oh, it's been done. How did he react to it? I think that's the more important part. Defense legit, offense work in progress, says Rafael Sandoval. I agree, Rafael. And again, this defense, guys, I don't think that there were any illusions or misconceptions. This defense is going to carry Michigan football this year. I mean, that's been the back. Last year, Jim Harbaugh called it the spine. Called spine, backbone, heart, whatever body part, essential organ you want to say. The defense is that for the Wolverines. Chris Carter says, yeah, he has to be mentally strong, but he has to throw off his back foot consistently. Yeah, the mechanics, I know, guys, that there are mechanic issues. Number one thing with a quarterback, and I think especially with Jim Harbaugh, I'm going to ask him a very specific question tomorrow in relation to that, but it's upstairs. The ability, there are a lot of guys who have the ability, right? How many quarterbacks does Michigan have on its roster? Every one of those guys at some level is capable of being a starter at some level at some school. They're all talented, if you put it that way. What separates, I mean, maybe some guys have better physical attributes than the other. Mental capacity is a huge separator. Mental capacity. Wilton Spate demonstrated that. I don't think the whole tag like what the whole tagline on Wilton last year, he doesn't get rattled. Opponents have said that, and he didn't get rattled. He was very calm and collected during the post-game press conference. So, how many true freshmen played minutes or snaps? Monster Leon, we'll call them snaps. Not sure I've heard anyone mention this yet. By my count, true freshmen, I think it was like at least six. I'll go through stats, but we could talk about who registered stats. Sean McCune, I know, played. Tariq Black played. Donovan Peoples-Jones played. Aubrey Solomon played. Ambry Thomas played. Ben Mason played. Ben was on special teams. Aubrey was on special teams. I'm trying to think who else, true freshman, off the top of my head. I'm sure there were some other guys scattered in there that I didn't notice, but those are the guys that I was looking out for and that I noticed. So forgive me for not having a complete list. What was that, about six, seven? Spate, 11 of 25. Oh, I'm missing this one. I think we just. Could you see third string coming in the second half of Cincy game and winning the starting job that way? The M turf. No. Not going to happen. Kennedy Cameron on Spate says, yeah, his mechanics sometimes go and he misses high. Yeah, I mean that. But guys, this is a thing too, where I think you have to point to Jim Harbaugh and look at his confidence in Wilton Spate. I don't think there's any doubt in Jim Harbaugh's mind whatsoever that Wilton Spate is a guy. And I think they said on TV that the plan was to get John O'Korn snaps. No, that wasn't it. And I think I was told they later corrected it, but the plan was to never give John O'Korn snaps. The plan was for Wilton not to throw back-to-back pick sixes. And when that happened, Harbaugh reacted to it. I don't know if you necessarily go in with a game plan saying, okay, well, if he throws back-to-back pick sixes, then we're going to you, John, for a little bit, and then we're going to bring Wilton back in once he gets his stuff together. I don't think that was it. They reacted to it. O'Korn looked fine in there. Got sacked a couple times. Right side of the line. That 37-yarder to what, Tariq? 36-yarder, something like that. He looked fine. But it's Wilton. It's Wilton's job, nobody else's. Again, like I said, the only guy that's going to beat him is him. How do you feel about O'Korn? He seems good, Matt the Destroyer. Matt, I think I just kind of covered. John can manage, but nobody's going to move the ball or the offense like Wilton Spate. It's just not happening. Wilton Spate is the guy who can move this offense. Maybe there's some hiccups in there, but I don't envision, and it's not a knock on John. I just think that Wilton is more suited for the offense. I mean, I think that's why he's the starter. I think that they've probably built some of it around Wilton's strengths. I'm sure, I mean, I'm speculating here, but I'm sure that he and Jim Harbaugh have sat down and Pep Hamilton, and they've talked about some things. How can we accentuate your talent? This is what we want to do. How can you adjust yourself to this? How can we adjust it to you? Not necessarily saying that they're tailoring the offense to Wilton Spate, but as a starting quarterback, I'm sure that they You know, they want to at least cater to his strengths. I thought he threw the deep ball. As far as just range, I thought range is there. Accuracy wasn't there all the time. And I know that that's been a huge knock on him, but that's been disproven. He's had the highest accuracy rating of any returning Big Ten starting quarterback. So, TJ Bellware wants to know, how far do you think Michigan move up in the rankings? I can see probably 10. I think they're 10. Who lost in the top 10 other than Florida State? And what a loss for Florida State. DeAndre Francois for the year. Georgia's Jacob Eason. It sounds like he's going to be out for a little bit. They said the plan is for him to return. Getting off topic there, but Wilton is the guy, says Mike Pelko, to lead the Wolverines at quarterback. You're right, Mike. How's it going, Mike? E. Mish, Grant Perry ruined momentum by spinning the ball, 15-yard penalty. Now, is that ruined momentum or is that just emotion? I thought that was kind of ridiculous penalty, honestly, but it is what it is. It's against the rules, but I don't know if you, I wouldn't say you ruin momentum. I mean, he was out there playing with heart. You should have heard, I was in the press room when they were coming in through the locker room. You should have heard these guys as far as, you know, they were amped up. I believe it was Rashawn Gary said, I take this to my heart. He was just screaming it. I'm pretty sure it was Rashawn. I mean, these guys were amped up. It was an emotional game. I mean, if you say that about Grant Perry, then can you say, or what are you going to say about Devin Bush's almost near ejection? Or at least, you know, they reviewed it for targeting. They're playing with emotion. I don't think you can fault Grant Perry for that. Monster of Leon, Kakoa got screwed out of a touchdown, but I'm not hearing much complaining from him or the team. I think that speaks volumes about his team's focus. That was a question too. It's kind of similar. I asked Devin Bush. I said, "Were you guys worried?" And the way that he responded was almost like, and it was the way that he responded, just no, almost like, "Why are you even asking me that?" No, they're not worried. Base Adam, can people at least critique Wilton and his fans? Yeah, I'm all about critiquing, but I feel like the anti-Spate argument is more based on emotion because Michigan fans want to see the next guy. I know a lot of people are, you know, still harping on the Brandon Peters thing. No, I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys that Wilton Spate is the perfect quarterback. I'm telling you that he's the best quarterback that Michigan has. And I don't think there's any debate about that. Matt the Destroyer, did you see UCLA, Texas A&M comeback? Part of it. A buddy that I was traveling with had it on his phone. He was streaming it. We were actually in flight. I didn't get home until a little bit after midnight last night. Yeah, Josh Rosen, what was it, 591 yards or something like that? I didn't look. I haven't watched much TV. I slept in. It has to be a UCLA record. If it isn't, Hundley is the only guy that has had a better game. Where does Spate rank in big quarterbacks? Fourth or fifth? I think it's too early to tell. But I mean, I'd say he's top three, four, without a doubt. Big Bubba Blue, UCLA won. Wow, I turned it off after the first half. You guys remember Josh Rosen did visit Michigan, right? I'm not trying to stir the pot or anything, but Josh Rosen, I think Josh Rosen would be a pretty good quarterback in Michigan. Rosen had 250 yards and four touchdowns just in the fourth quarter. Crazy, says Sean Holes. Sean, do you know, is that a UCLA record? I'm pretty sure. Wasn't it 591 total yards? That has to be a UCLA record. If not, it's very close. Danish Hassan, do you see him playing or do you see him transferring? Who? I think I'm... Oh, on Kareem, thoughts on Kareem Walker? Kareem's going to play. As far as I know, I mean, that's the plan from what I was told during camp. That's what they told us. Matt the Destroyer, I still think Oregon 32-0 blown lead was the biggest comeback ever. What did you think of the tight end play? Thought they may be featured a bit more with their size and a Harbaugh offense, says the M-Turk. Yeah, I was a little bit surprised. I thought, I actually predicted the first offensive touchdown would be to a tight end. I was wrong. I thought tight end play as a whole was pretty good. I thought that Ty Wheatley struggled a little bit, wasn't exactly sharp on the block all the time. Thought Gentry looked good, Eubanks, of course, looked good, but Sean McCune, to me, is the tight end right now. The tight end. I think he's, and I'll go jump off, I guess, to a conclusion right now, but I mean, if you don't think that Sean McCune's going to be a star tight end at Michigan, I mean, look what he did against Florida. That's his first game. Neutral site. A lot of guys had jitters, right? I mean, Tariq bobbled a pass. I mean, Donovan Peoples-Jones with his ball security on the punt return. I mean, I think there were some guys out there that were a little bit nervous. Sean McCune didn't look nervous to me at all. Mason Cole, Ben Bredesen were making huge holes. Matt the Destroyer. Yeah, and that's why, like I mentioned earlier, I think the right side of the line needs some work. If you look at Ty Isaac's runs, Chris Evans' runs, I mean, they're off-tackle, sweep, that kind of stuff. They were following the left side of the line. And again, that may have been and doing large part to field position, but at the same time, the left side of the line was where it was at for those guys. Norden the GOAT, says DeMario Vaughn. Quinn Nordin. Why did I pronounce it Norden? It's Nordin. It's easy to read it as Norden, but it's Nordin. Yeah, he, Michigan record, only field goal kicker to have 250-plus yard field goals in a game. Costco Payne says, McCune looks the part at tight end. Absolutely, Costco. I couldn't agree more. What other recruit was there that has interest in UM besides Muhammad? Four Masterfuls. I don't know Four Masterfuls. I didn't see the visit list. I haven't talked to anybody about it. I'm sorry. That's probably, you know, Scout 247. Those guys are really up on the recruiting side of it. I focus more on, like, what's going on right now with the guys that are on the roster. I do get into recruiting, but I'm not, like, a recruiting guru. Whatsoever. Matt Pargoff's pretty good with recruiting too at Mason Blue News. Check him out. Hinton was there, but he's already committed. I know that. Adam, I'm about to become a regular here, it says Four Masterfuls. Well, hey, join, man. I appreciate it. I think we're getting close to 700 subscribers, guys. These podcasts are really taking off. As you can tell, I really enjoy them. You guys always come with great questions. And for those who are watching during the preseason, like I told you, during the season, we're going to get into it. These are going to be much more your guys' discussion. We're going to try to put a little bit of a format to it, but it's very much, and you know, if you guys are out there, your first-time listener, first-time watcher, it's very much a discussion is what I like to have. Not so much, a podcast to where I'm just talking at you guys. I want it to be where I'm talking with you. Four Masterfuls, are you a gamer? As in, like, a video game? No. I'm a gamer in life. I have a Sega Genesis. Can I hook that up? Wi-Fi, I'll play Street Fighter 2, NBA Jam, Champion Edition. Whatever you want, man. He says, LOL, wow, Sega. I'm 35, man. Sega Genesis. That was the system for me when I was a kid. I have 6-button controllers. If anybody wants to face me in Street Fighter 2 Championship Edition, I welcome the challenge. You could pick my character, as long as it's Ken, Ryu, or Chun-Li. I used to be alright with Dahlzum. He's a guy with stretchy arms. Anyway, I'm more of a first PlayStation guy. Jet Moto was awesome. I loved that game. I think my favorite rider, I think his name was The Technician. Jet Moto was awesome. Mike Palko says, Chun-Li is my girl. Chun-Li, man, if you knew how to use Chun-Li, she was super hard to beat. Super hard to beat. Muhammad Malik says, LOL, Adam stepping up the trash talk. Yeah, anybody wants to face me on Sega Genesis, just let me know. Thoughts on the unis, M. Turf wants to. I liked them. That was a good look. I know a lot of traditionalists don't like it, and you know, you get the highlighter jokes. My aunt made a funny joke. Hi, Aunt Julie, if you're watching, she called it a urine yellow. Hey, recruits like alternates. I would have liked to maybe see a little bit of more blue in the pants, offset it. I think a lot of people made that comment, but as a whole, I liked them. I liked the neck detail, sleeve detail. They made Wilton's eyes hurt. Maybe that was it too. I mean, they were bright. They got attention though. I think that was part of the plan. Go to Dallas, get a win, get some attention. Or Arlington rather. I was surprised that Solomon didn't play more. Costco Pin says, yeah, and guys, I mean, you're not good. We know, I think we have a pretty good idea of which true freshmen are going to play. You're not going to see them all play. Again, you're not going to see everything that they're going to do in one game. This was one game. I think there's some things that you could pull from the game and kind of run with a little bit, but there's other things where you have to put it in the capacity of it's just one game. I put that with the Aubrey Solomon thing, it's just one game. Cincinnati and Air Force are coming up. Did you notice in shape the defense was? Very little hands on their waist, says Justin Villanueva. Yeah. These guys were tuned. Fine-tuned machine. We could think of all kinds of phrases, adjectives, comparisons, synonyms, whatever, to talk to throw with this defense. Label this defense. I like the term sharp, just because. I think you guys know. I got a lot of laughter out of that shark thing. I really did. Four Masterfuls. Word on when McCray wasn't in early injury or was it planned? I don't know for sure. We didn't ask it post game. And again, I wasn't down there today because my flight got in late last night. There'll be availability this week. Could be anything. And people were speculating on Twitter, did he miss a curfew? Was it being punished? Mike McCray is a fifth-year senior captain. I would be absolutely shocked if there was anything even remotely related like to that. It might be, maybe I saw him tinkering with his helmet. Maybe his helmet wasn't right. You know, maybe he was cramped up. I mean, it's something in that vein. It's not anything disciplinary. I'll guarantee that. Now, Mike McCray, disciplinary, not start for something like that? No. So if you guys, I know, and I'm not trying to fuel that, but there were people tossing that around on Twitter. No, not Mike McCray. Yeah, high character guy, I'm guessing wardrobe malfunction. I'm having a speech malfunction. Yeah, Four Masterfuls, I would almost guarantee it was something like that. Like I said, I saw him tinkering with his helmet a little bit. Maybe his face mask was loose. Maybe he had a cramp. I don't know exactly. Maybe he was waiting on a piece of equipment, a pad. It was some. It had. I can almost guarantee it was something like that. One, the 3-3 stack defense, two. Antoine, elaborate on that. Any word on Kareem Walker getting any steps? Yeah, Sheldon Holtz, no, I don't know why. I mean, Ty Isaac had a pretty good big day. He tied his career high with 114 yards. I don't know. Maybe it's just they didn't see a need to use four running backs. I mean, I thought that they did all right with the three that they had. I'll bring up the running back stats right now. Ty Isaac, 11 carries for 114 yards, along of 36, average 10.4 per carry. Chris Evans, 22 carries. I thought Chris was going to get somewhere in the range of 15 to 18. That's what I originally guessed. And I was wrong about that. Chris got some good work in. 22 carries for 78 yards, along of 29, 3.5 per carry. Karan got 7 carries. You know, I was kind of surprised that they didn't go to Khalid on that 4th-and-1, honestly. I thought the. Early in the game, I thought that's Khalid's specialty. 1 and 2 yard touchdowns. Give him a body length. Give him the ball and a body length, and he's in. Ken Horvath, Isaac should start the next game. Well, I mean, I think that you're gonna see. I mean, and by start is the end of the first snap. I mean, and the primary running back, I think, is gonna be Chris Evans. Ty Isaac is. Let's look at it like boxing. Chris is gonna dance you around the ring a little bit, get you tired. Karan's gonna throw some jabs. Ty Isaac's the knockout punch. Ty Isaac is the body blow. Ty Isaac is the guard your ribs. You better guard those ribs, because that's what Ty Isaac does. Any boxers out there? Is my form all right? Gotta protect the rib cage. Yeah, it really doesn't matter who starts. They all get carries, says Sean Holtz. Yeah, I mean, let's look. I'll just bring it. How many carries? Michigan, 49 rushing attempts for 215 yards. It's a platoon effort. You carry the ball 50 times almost. You're wearing down a defense. Agonizing pain when they have to defend almost 50 runs. That's going to put you in pretty good position as well. In the run game, again, 25 touchdowns. In 2015, 41 last year, there was like a 600-yard increase in rushing yards. I mean, I think that we're going to see that again. It's machine-like, guys. It's not just one not one player in particular. I really believe it's a machine-like mentality. 11.4 yards per what was that, Matt the Destroyer, for my man Ty? 10.4. But yes, nice average for sure. Thoughts on all the three-man D-line looks? I like it. Again, I referenced this earlier. I mean, Don Brown, I never really paid, I guess, I always thought of him more along the lines, same lines as Greg Madison, like more like a four-three guy. I know that Greg's, you know, kind of four-man front. That's what he liked. But 3-3-5 stack, and it depends on how, you know, the three. I'm trying to visualize it here for you guys. It depends, too, like where the linebacker's lined up, because it'll give you the three defensive line look, but at the same time, you still have, I guess, the effectiveness of a four-man front, if that makes sense. Antoine Johnson says 3-3-5 stack defense was good. Also replace Evans with Higdon. Hold on here. And play the freshman over Perry and Crawford. They're too small. They're slot receivers. Matt the Destroyer. They were getting loads of pressure on the floor. And I think, yeah, with the 3-3-5, that gives you the option, right? I mean, your offense is guessing. And if you're four-man front, they're automatically thinking aggressive. Maybe they're thinking 3-3-5 defense throws them off a little bit. And again, you have that linebacker. Maybe we should get a whiteboard. Let's get a whiteboard, guys. That'll be fun. I'm not a football coach, but I understand the basic principles of a lot of it. So I'm not going to sit here and try to break it down to you guys and act like I'm Don Brown or something, but I think if you follow enough football, I think that you understand a lot of the basic principles. And I talk with my hands a lot. Maybe it'd be easier to draw. I'm a little worried about the depth behind Hurst, says Four Masterfuls. Higdon looked better than Evans, Chris Carter says. Did Rich Rod run the 3-3-5, Mike Palko? Yes, he did. That's a different type of 3-3-5, I think. I think Don Brown's 3-3-5. And again, like when you look at a 3-3-5, I don't think it's going to be the same across the board for every coach. Those are basic principles, just as far as player placement to start. But then when you tinker, it's all relative to who's the coach, I guess, is the best way to say it. Any other questions, guys? We're going on. Whoa, 43 minutes. This has flown by. This has been a good one. I like it. Case, black people are A, Case. Get that crap out of here. I'm sorry. When I saw black, I thought it was going to be a comment about Tariq Black. Get out of here with that crap, Casey. Somebody report Casey. K-A-Y-C-E. I eat KFC daily. What do you have to say about that? I eat a lot of chicken. Get out of here with that crap, Casey. Can you guys see this commenting from Casey? This is intolerable. I don't want any of this shit in here. Now I'm pretty angry. Yeah, let's get this out of here, guys. Report away. I don't have an option on here. It's not letting me do it. Report. Hold on. Report. I'm reporting right now. Yeah, guys, if you come in here, any racial crap, any anything that's not sports related, any kind of political stuff, I mean, some maybe touch on a politic or two, how it relates to sports. But if you come in here just spewing just racist garbage crap, I'm not going to tolerate it. Casey, you need to get a life. And here I am giving Casey attention. So I'll sift through those comments, guys. Tyrone Setsi says, please don't upset Adam. Your eyes look like you could be a real sealer. I'm jet lagged a little bit. If you see these comments, though, it'll fire you up. Definitely. Definitely. I don't like that kind of talk at all. Yeah, kick someone out of a live chat. I don't know. Let's get some sports questions, guys. Let's not give Casey any more attention. And thanks to everybody. McCray was getting it for pregame for IV pregame for dehydration, says Ryan Pfeiffer. Yeah, I figured. Can you confirm that, Ryan? Again, like people were trying to suggest, well, did he miss a curfew? Was it disciplinary? No, not at all. I thought maybe, some kind of equipment malfunction. IV for dehydration certainly makes sense. It was pretty muggy down there. It was. Any word on David Long? No. How do I see the return game? How would I rate the return game? Jim Harbaugh did mention, I think, you don't want to see Donovan Peoples-Jones tighten up with it a little bit as far as ball security. I don't know. I don't feel like I got a great read on return game. Just some stats real quick. I know what DPJ had five punt returns for 40 yards. I'm trying to figure them out right now. Find the stats. Yeah, DPJ, five punt returns for 40 yards. No kick returns, so you can't really grade that. Everyone saying watch out for Indiana, but Richard Leggo can't play well under pressure. Michigan will sack him. I thought Leggo looked pretty good against Ohio State in the first half, but I mean, Ohio State's speed and power on defense just clamped that game. I expected that. I know a lot of people were saying that Indiana was gonna, maybe it was gonna be an upset. Maybe Indiana was. I did not envision that at all. If you would have told me it would be a close first half and then Ohio State blew it open in the second half, I'd say I absolutely agree, and that's what happened. Jalafian says, let me know if I'm saying your name right. Thin at quarterback, Keith Washington still hit. Keith Washington decided to leave. Yeah, I think they're gonna miss a guy like Keith. Keith started for 3 weeks during camp. I think Ohio State might lose this week, says base 7769. Oklahoma, I don't know. I think Ohio State gets Oklahoma. Jalafian, good, I said it right. Yeah, let me know if I butcher your names, guys. I try to pronounce them. We're going on almost 48 minutes. I'll stick around for about 5 more minutes. I have to write, guys, today. Baker Mayfield way better than JT. Well, Matt, of course, it's two different types of quarterback comparison. Baker Mayfield, legit. I like Baker Mayfield. I like Jacob Eason. I like DeAndre Francois. I like Josh Rosen. Mason Rudolph. Ohio State or Michigan if they played right now, Adam wants to know. Great name, Adam. Ooh, that's a good question because I think both defenses are kind of similar, right? I mean, dominant defensive lines, really good linebacker play, maybe some young questions at corner. That's interesting. Then you stack offense. I think I'd give the edge to Ohio State offensively. I think defense, it'd be right there. Offensively, I think I like Ohio State a little bit better. If they were to play right now, today, I would take Ohio State. Wanted to see a little more DPJ at wide receiver. What do you think, KB? Yeah, I would have liked to see a little bit more DPJ at wide receiver. That Florida State quarterback injury disappointing, such a lot. Yeah, it really is. And I could tell by the way he got hit when he came up. Oh, I was in the hotel room with my buddies. We were watching that game. And I don't know if you guys got to see the live podcast I did from the hotel and got to meet Heisman Nate Tuttle. Nate, if you're watching, famous Nate. He's had his flag on the Jumbotron or on TV, his Michigan flag. If you guys saw a guy down by the Michigan end zone with a Michigan flag, that was Nate Tuttle. He's famous. He's been on TV about 6, 7 times, I guess. How many times, Nate? Let me know. Yeah, Kennedy, I try to, but he keeps going. I've blocked him and reported him, and it keeps going. If you enjoy watching vlogs, I make daily vlogs on my channel. I guess we're getting popular enough, guys, to where people want to come in and spam it now. So I guess that's a good sign. I don't like the spam. I don't like the comments, but at least we're all meeting up and talking Michigan football. And I guess it's getting some attention. So, yeah, Gopher, I've tried. He says, stop the racist junk, Casey. I've tried. We've all reported them. I'll send this to YouTube, and hopefully they can do something to, like, ban them or do something. But please disregard his comments. In no shape or form is that anything that I endorse or believe or any of that cosign. I think you guys who watch the show know that I'm a pretty level-headed guy. And I don't like that crap. Just reading it does anger me, though. I'm not going to lie. Base 77769, Adam the Man. Chris Carter, it's a good sign, but I'd love to hit him in the face. Hey, I'm not going to lie. I don't advocate violence. But Case, if you were here and said that to me, to my face, we'd have a problem. Definitely. And I think that goes for everybody in here. Oh, we're getting confrontational now. We're gonna mob up on you, Casey. Don't feed the trolls. Yes. All right, come on, guys. More sports questions. More sports questions. Ryan Pfeiffer. Am I saying it right, Ryan, or is it Pfeiffer? Pfeiffer. If Spate limits mistakes, Michigan can win the Big Ten with Don Brown this defense. Absolutely. Matt the Destroyer at Tyrone Sensi, hating trolls. What's wrong with America? Think we just need to ignore him, says Gopher. Yeah, I agree. I'm trying, guys. But when you see, I mean, he's literally spammed with probably a couple hundred comments, the same one, and it's pretty, it's enough to get, I think, anybody angry a little bit. Yeah, thanks, guys, everybody. Let's make this to where it's, like I said, it's discussion. It's your guys' show. You guys ask me questions. I'll ask you guys questions. It's a two-way street. I want it to be fun. I want, you know, there's already several regulars. I haven't seen Justin Green or Leet Demon in here yet. Where are you guys hiding? Spate is learning to play with new receivers. Just needs time. We'll be all right. I think that Jalafian, that's part of it too. And again, I mean, Tariq wide open, bobbled it, right? Just bobbled it. What week is OSU Penn State game? I don't know offhand. Let me look for you. Looking up the Ohio State football schedule. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Week 8, October 28th. That'll be a big game, won't it? Mostly Michigan football, but Adam talks all college football, says Mike Palko. I'll talk college football, but yeah, mostly Michigan football. During the basketball season, you know, I split covering Michigan and Michigan State. Basically, whoever's at home, unless it's a huge road game. I'll do a little bit of Michigan State football during the fall, but for the most part, it's 99.99999% Michigan football. Michigan should wear the maize uniforms during the whiteout at Penn State. I don't think Penn State is for real, honestly, says Gopher. I do. Muhammad Malik, I was looking for the play-by-play guy to see fade to black, slackers. Sean says he's got to take off. Hey, Sean. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. Yeah, guys, I got to take off, too. I'd like to write. Go take care of some errands and everything. What do I think about Minnesota football? Gopher, I don't know enough about Minnesota football to give you a definitive answer. I think P.J. Fleck being there is a great thing for the program. Excuse me. What was the score of that game? I was watching part of it in my room. It was against Buffalo, wasn't it? Yeah, 17-7. I mean, I don't. I didn't watch the whole thing, so I don't know. I don't know, you know, I can't give you the type of insight as I would, you know, say to Michigan football. So 17-7, it was boring. Well, yeah, and I'm looking just on paper against Buffalo. I think I'd expect a little bit more. Especially given the hype, and I know Gophers fans are excited. I like Tracy Clays. I thought he did a great job. Minnesota looked like it was a team on the up. Minnesota looked like to where you could easily project it. It was getting to the point where you could project Minnesota as an 8-win team on a consistent basis. Jay Marion, thoughts on Cincinnati Bearcats? Jay, we'll get into that. I do have a co-host, Thomas Bendit. He and I will preview the games. I think we're going to do it every Wednesday night. get into breakdown, stat breakdown. We weren't able to do it for the Florida game because of my travel and his schedule and whole Labor Day weekend, but we're going to get on this regular schedule. Got to make mods to keep control when you're doing your thing. I'm not as technical savvy as you guys are. How do I make mods? Base, yeah. If someone wants to take it upon themselves to be like a group moderator or something, you're more than welcome to. Gopher Hockey says he subscribed to me. Hey, I appreciate it, Gopher. And you guys got him, yeah. I haven't seen any more comments. Should be easy, but I don't know how to make moderators, says Matt. Neither do I. Maybe I'll check out YouTube, see if there's kind of some kind of tutorial or something. Hey, guys, before I go, I want to mention, I don't know if you could see, he did it with the Yankees, but I don't like the Yankees, so I'll never have a Yankees jersey. Jim Abbott, today is the anniversary of his no-hitter. Jim Abbott, my favorite baseball player of all time. Then Ken Griffey Jr. and Cal Ripken Jr. Just had to show that off. And this day, on this day in 1993, let me bring up the tweet. And I actually wrote something about this a long time ago when I was at the Flint Journal. And it was this day, September 4th, 1993. It was against the Cleveland Indians, and he got Carlos Baerga to ground out, and that was it. Base says, yeah, first time it's ever happened. Yeah, Cal Ripken was class act. Yes, he was. I want that Billy Ripken card, the F face card. You guys know what I'm talking about. I have a friend who has one, actually. I think I'm going to see what it take to buy that. That's a missing gem. Griffey is my favorite too. Yeah, I love I collect a lot of memorabilia. So I think I have the Upper Deck rookie card as well. I have starting lineups. I'm a memorabilia geek. This is one of my prized possessions as well. Yeah, Kevin, that Topps rookie card's awesome. Base said he had that card, he lost it. I have the Connect on Ken Griffey Jr. Memorabilia. I love it. I don't have a Mariners jersey, though. I need one. I have a rack of jerseys up there, but I do not have a Seattle Mariners jersey. All right, guys. I got to get out of here. One final question. Adam loves baseball just as much as football, maybe even more than football, says Mike Pelko. I love baseball. That is for sure. Hey, Gophers. Hey, thanks for watching, man. I appreciate it. I'll study up a little bit. If you want to talk Minnesota, we'll have a good preview, I'm sure, for the Michigan State when they play Minnesota. Go Blue, moving us, says Justice Smith. Good show, says Gopher. Appreciate it, guys. Any kind of questions? I appreciate the help with the troll today. That was great of you guys. Thank you. Follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Read my stuff on FanRagSports.com. Follow at @Fanrag_U at @FanRagSports. I want to thank Tim and Keith in Ann Arbor, Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor, for keeping me fed throughout the season. Go check them out at 808 State Street. I'm going to have food giveaway this week, guys. It's a home game. For all home games, giving away some steak sandwiches, chicken wings, waffle fries, trivia. I'll have a question. I'll either post it on Twitter or something. I'll give you guys fair notice. And we're going to start giving away some food, especially, like I said, for the home game. So if you want to, if you're going to be in Ann Arbor on game day, or if you live in Ann Arbor or you're close to there, you could go in on the Saturday. Just tell them that you won from the podcast, and they'll hook you up. Justin Smith, do I think Michigan is better than Wisconsin? I mean, yeah. I think Michigan has the potential. I think Ohio State's the class of the Big Ten right now. I think if Michigan's offense can get some kind of, just get a little bit better flow. It didn't flow well against Florida. It did enough. But let's not also forget that this defense gave up 3 points and 11 rushing yards. One of us could have probably managed that quarterback if need be. Well, maybe not, but I do want to say in Dallas, one final note about Dallas, they have a turf an AstroTurf field downtown by this place called Biergarten. And I'm not even kidding. It's elevated above the street on like this big marble ledge, AstroTurf. I was downtown, and these kids were playing 7-on-7 with a glow-in-the-dark Nerf football. And I went out there. I was the quarterback. Threw the game-winning touchdown. Amari, if you're watching, nice catch, man. And they're all like, "Oh, you play baseball. We could tell the way you..." I was just slinging those things like I'm trying to turn two. All right, guys, I'm gonna get out of here. I gotta work. Appreciate you guys watching. Again, follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Mitten Sports, at Mitten Sports MI. That's the podcast on Twitter. Sports in the Mitten. Search us on Facebook. Have a great day. I'll talk to you guys next time.